In the always changing world of finance, consistency can be a challenging piece of culture to instill in a team. But my guest today has found the key with seven simple rules that each of his employees can recite by heart. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. YPO member Enrique Quemada grew up in Spain, but he wanted an adventure beyond his upbringing. So at age 20, Enrique took a flight to Japan, knowing only 500 Japanese words and having no contacts. Fluent in both Spanish and English, Enrique found a job as a language teacher, and soon his abilities took him into banking as a customer liaison. Enrique returned to Spain for his MBA and worked his way up the banking ladder quickly, soon becoming a managing director. Later, he also graduated from Harvard Business School's President's Management Program. Seeking another adventure, Enrique quit his banking job. He wanted to find a way to ease the mergers and acquisitions process for small and medium-sized companies. So he founded One-to-One Corporate Finance Group. Today, One-to-One conducts business on four continents and has participated in nearly 1,000 M&A deals around the world. Enrique, welcome to the show.
Thanks to you.
Were there entrepreneurs in your family?
No, there are not. In fact, my mother said, you're absolutely stupid. I mean, you're a guy that have had the fortune, the luck of being managing director in a bank at your age, and you are now throwing it all, and you have to start from scratch, be no one. It was true, given that I didn't get a package. I just left and I started my own thing.
What was it that you felt that was missing?
I felt that what I did was not relevant. And I felt that I was not proving myself. I thought, well, I'm part of the machine and this is working, but if I were not here, this would work the same way. So I'm not that relevant. I want to build something at which if it fails, it is my fault. And I want to reach my limit and to know what my limit is. And that's why I decided to leave that position and start from scratch.
You made the decision to leave and then start a business. You didn't start a business and then use that as your vehicle to leave. So here you are. What do you do? How'd you make the decision?
The idea is I promised myself that 10 years after the MBA, I would leave and I would become a business owner. And the time came. So I was 35 and the time had come. So I left. And when I left, I started thinking, what do I do now? I knew about banking. And I knew about investment banking. And I knew that what we were doing in investment banking was not good.
So what's the practical approach that you take in that structure in order to make that happen? How does the philosophy work in your corporation differently than the rest of the investment bankers?
Client focus, which means that when we are selling the company, we look and we find the best buyer in the world. I mean, we're not looking for a buyer. We are looking for the best buyer in the world. That means that we do a huge effort to find it. It might be in Japan, it might be in China, it might be in Mexico. That is one of the things. The other is that we want the client to see exactly what we are doing. So we are 100% transparent. We give him an app and he can monitor whatever we are doing anytime. And that is an amazing pressure for us. And at the same time, it is fantastic for the client.
Do you find that the clients with the transparency are more tolerant when mistakes are made? I mean, people are human. They're not going to do everything perfectly every time.
Yeah, for me, when they participate, and that is the great thing, that when you're transparent, they know what you're doing and they can interact. So they participate and they are members of the team. And when they are members of the team, they don't complain that much because we make mistakes, but we make mistakes with them as a team.
How can you identify that client that's going to be a good team member? I assume you pick your clients carefully. What's the criteria that you can use at the outset to determine whether or not that client's going to be the right fit for you?
Well, first of all, ethical guys. When I explain to my people in Asia, in China, in India, they have a different culture. So I tell them about that we are Jedi Knights and that we are in the good side of the force. And we don't want to know anything about the dark side. And we don't want clients from the dark side. We want to work for good people. And we're radical on that. Mm-hmm. Second, clients have needs. And when someone is going to sell a company or wants to buy a company, for us, the critical thing is to be him. and to feel his pain. So I want to understand him, and I spend a lot of time trying to understand what is his real, real problem. Sometimes he doesn't even know what motivates his actions.
You pride yourselves on being specialists in negotiation. So if you were to give the steps towards negotiation, the things that most people don't recognize when they head into a negotiation, what would you tell them?
Well, for me, negotiation is understanding, is listening, is knowing what is going on. When people negotiate, they want to convince. And it's not a matter of convince, it's a matter of understanding. And when you understand, you learn a lot of new things that will help you to get what you want.
What else are you passionate about your business?
For me, business is not relevant. I mean, for me, business is a way of life. For me, what is relevant is people. For me, what is relevant is, of course, clients and, of course, employees. I want to make them better every day. I want people who want to collaborate and to want to work in teams to serve a client and put their egos behind. And I don't want them to grow in all aspects of their life.
You have 30 offices all over the world. How are you able to maintain the consistency of culture in all of those places, in all of those different cultural environments?
Well, that is the big thing. I mean, it is not easy, and that is the constant fight. I travel a lot, and I travel a lot in order to inspire them these values about collaboration, about being human, about that money is not the real thing, and trying to change the way they do investment banking.
Do you have specific cultural programs for your employees?
Yeah, we have the 7 rules. Everybody knows by heart. The first is ethics. Second, of course, is confidentiality. And we're obsessed with confidentiality and how do we control the confidentiality of the process. The third is tenacity, which means that if someone engages us, we will sell his company. I mean, we don't let clients down, and that we're radical on that. The fourth is excellence. Anything that comes out of this organization must be excellent. The fifth is commercial attitude. I mean, everybody's selling. It's not just the partner. The sixth is discipline. It's discipline with the organization. The organization has to work like a machine. And the seventh is the most important with the first, and it's team spirit. We're a team, and we work as a team, and we help each other, and we're here for the others. Those are the 7 rules. Everybody knows them. Whether they are in Dubai or they are in Bulgaria or they are in Dusseldorf, everybody knows that we will not accept behaviors that are against those rules.
Okay, Enrique, it's time for our rapid fire questions. What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
What are you passionate about? I mean, if I know his passion, I know the person and I can connect with him.
Name 3 of your personal core values.
First would be to make people feel better about themselves. Second is to put passion on whatever you do. And third is give it all.
Who has had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
My wife. She teaches me every day how to see others better, how to see their problems, how to feel the pain of the people that are around me. My wife is my best teacher.
What is your favorite business book?
Eating the Big Fish from Adam Morgan.
What are you reading right now?
I'm reading The Compound Effect from Darren Hardy.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Well, for me, generosity.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Greed.
Name 1 daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Pray, meditation, take time to connect with God.
How do you know an employee is valuable?
Because of his attitude. It's not about knowledge, it's about attitude. I don't want to motivate my employees. I want employees who motivate themselves.
What's your strangest daily habit?
I try to do a lot of sports, running, cycling, swimming. Maybe I'm quite obsessed with that.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
Look at their eyes, listen, and be fully present when you are with them.
Well, we really appreciate you being fully present in the interview today, Enrique. Thank you so much for coming.
Great.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member Mark Hadlin. He'll share how his technology makes the Disney World experience even more magical. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to the YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit www.ypo.org.